10 years later, in the wake of the most profligate bloodletting in human history, Du Bois, as were all with any heart at all, was determined to help bring about an end to war. Quote, and this is from his autobiography published in 1968, which he obviously wrote before then. I believe he died in 1963. So this is about 20. He wrote it 20 years after Dusk of Dawn, and is recalling in this quote events 10 years after his writing of Dusk of Dawn in the 50s, 1950. Quote, my trip to the Soviet Union made it impossible for me to get to the Congress in Mexico City. But I watched with interest other peace conferences in Cuba in August, in Australia in April 1950. The delegations to the parliaments of the world projected by the defenders of peace in Paris in February 1950. I joined a group to welcome persons selected to come here, including the Dean of Canterbury and the great painter Picasso. They were refused visas. A mid-century conference for peace was called by the Committee for Peaceful Alternatives in May 1950, in which I was asked to conduct a panel. But a previous engagement kept me away. I was asked to attend the meeting of the Executive Committee of the Paris Defenders of Peace in Prague in August 1951. And I accepted. This meeting was to call a Second World Congress and make a new plea for disarmament. And that's from the autobiography of W.E.B. Du Bois, published in 1968. Brothers and sisters, if we could conference and delegate ourselves into solving the core problems of class, poverty, and war, they are foundational. What truth teller will say that? Truly, what truth teller will say that? If we could conference and delegate ourselves into solving the problems of class, poverty, and war, which are foundational, trust, our ancestors, who were heavyweights of honesty in public life, would have done it. A breed that we don't see around us today, who speak the truth, or as far into it as they can see at any moment, unflinchingly. And if we don't measure to their standard, this is not our fault. Not just because academia no longer supports such honesty as money, i.e. the global state statesmen who control where it goes, what gets funded and what doesn't, who have many ways to bring down independent actors, as money, i.e. the system, weeds out likely candidates for independent thought before they have a chance to challenge the system. But even more gut-wrenching, we have been stymied by a system that focuses itself, and when we say system, we have to begin discussing the fact that means by definition totalitarian. When we think about it, when we probe that notion, we see this. We have been stymied by a system that focuses itself single-mindedly on continuously expanding its means for killing and disabling, i.e., physically controlling its citizens. The state has devised a range of repressive means, from harassment to infiltration to microwave weaponry to suppress dissent. The state touts them, and we have tended to accept them as being less than lethal, quote unquote, blowing past the fact that dissent, and it is for dissuading dissent, that such devices are ultimately made, that dissent should not be messed with, that dissent in the face of such repression is heroic. It speaks to the fact that we the people need to be discussing and developing our own opposite set of values and ways of seeing that prioritize individual and collective freedom and determining how to establish it in the world as the seat of our society, our intercourse, to use an old construction, with each other. So this constantly expanding its arsenal, such tactics got the better of us until now, when the internet tips the balance to us, if we seize that advantage with a whole heart.